that is soul sovereignty, is absolutely standing in your own power. And complete chaos can reign around you, but you're not uncompassionate to what's going on and what's happening for other people, but you in yourself are not being sucked into the drama, into the chaos. You yourself feel at peace because you have your connection to your soul source. You have connection to your soul self.
Welcome to The Cosmic Calling, a podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs and creative souls on a mission to align their life and career with the cosmos. I'm Natalie Wallstein, career astrologer at Soulshine Astrology, and I hope you're ready to unlock your cosmic calling. Hello, my loves. My guest this week is Claire Attio, and she is a modern day medicine woman who is dedicated to helping individuals enhance their personal growth, boost self-confidence, and explore their spiritual path. And today we are talking all about the journey to soul sovereignty. This is such an important subject now more than ever, because it can be all too easy to give our power away to endless distractions or seemingly chaotic situations all around us and in the media. Soul sovereignty, as Claire writes about in her newsletter, helps us rise above the noise, confusion, and fear, maintain our focus, and stay centered. Let's dive in and get started. Hi, Claire. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Natalie. Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
I'm so pleased to have you here. Can you tell us what you feel is your cosmic calling?
Oh, cosmic calling. I would actually, it's changed over the years. Initially, I started out with confidence coaching. And it's like that snowball effect. And I think other listening to other podcasts that you've done, so many others of your guests have said the same thing. It's you transition and you go to another level and you grow and it changes. But my calling here is to, one, to find and really anchor my light into the planet, into my life, into my community, and to use that to help other people to do the same. So it's almost like a spiritual midwife, if you like.
That's beautiful. And why is this so important to you, if you could put your finger on it?
It's the growth of humanity, the rising of consciousness, that it's the pinnacle of where we're at, where we're coming into the new era. And a lot of people talk about it, they hear it, but so few fully understand it, comprehend it on a cellular level. It's like words and it's phrases, and spirituality in lots of aspects can be like that, which is why soul sovereignty is such a dear passion of mine, that people actually not only understand these phrases, but they live them, they breathe them, they are them. And the dance, the magical dance that is that you get with life and with the planet. And we need it. Let's be honest, we're in a place and a space in humanity's evolution, and with what we're actually doing with the planet, we desperately need some positive change.
Yes. I like what you said about how it's not just knowing about it, but integrating it, embodying it, being it. There's information flying around everywhere, and that doesn't mean we're really like taking it in and letting it become a part of ourselves. I'd love to ask about your background and kind of like the journey that you've been on to get where you are. I know you used to be a nurse and now you're a medicine woman. So what inspired that transformation for you? And what do you see as, what is like a medicine woman, if you had to explain it to a random person?
I'd love to say to your viewers a really beautiful fairy story of divine talking to me, but divine was talking to me, but I wasn't listening. and I had three burnouts and I was on my knees. And like we all do, even if you're not religious, is I obviously sent out a prayer and it was answered. And I gave up. I was running my own nursing company at the time. And I actually just gave that up. And I was right. Okay. Where do I go? What do I do now? And I'm going to be honest. I was an emotional mess at the time. I was in a dreadful, dreadful place. And a coaching friend of mine actually said, Claire, you need to go and get some EFT, which is emotional freedom technique. And I had that, and such a cliche. It was just one session and the weight of the world just lifted off of my shoulders. My nursing head, that scientist in me was like, wow, this is powerful stuff. I need to learn this. And it was just a roller coaster from there. That is how I really started getting into energy work and really understanding how energy works and how we can have those blockages. And obviously it's that dis-ease within us emotionally, mentally, that creates those blockages and obviously that then forms dis-ease. So the two kind of went in hand. I was able to bring in the science and start to understand, okay, right, okay, that's why this disease exists, because there was an energetic emotional blockage, an unhealed wound, something that was unprocessed energetically that then caused that blockage, that then caused that physical ailment within the body. That's how it started. My actual spirituality has been with me all my life. I could see spirits when I was a child, but of course I was closed down. I was told it was my imagination, blah blah. And that came in a few years into me on my energetic journey. That started to really come in and open itself out. And obviously, because I was by then listening to my guides, even if I wasn't openly expressing that I was listening to my guides, because I think that's another thing that many of us fear, or definitely from my generation, because it wasn't something that was readily spoken about. And so you kind of kept it quiet. You only spoke to a few friends. It wasn't in everyday conversation like it is now. And even Reiki 15 years ago, you would say to a few friends, I'm going for a Reiki session, whereas Reiki is so mainstream now, it's nobody blinks an eye. But and that is how time is changing. And that is why it's so lovely to have the science to back up what's actually being done and what we're actually learning about ourselves and our bodies now, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it started with EFT and it progressed. It's very difficult because it's the titles that we give ourselves as well. So you said, you know, the medicine woman, and I was kind of like, okay, what best describes what I do? Because as my journey unfolded, I got the message, go and learn shamanism. And I was like, well, and the whole, it was interesting because even with that, I was in resistance, even though my guides were clearly telling me, you still, just because we do this, we've done it for some time, doesn't mean that we always do it with grace. There are still programs that we're running and working through. And at the time I was very much concerned about the cultural appropriation, only to find out that, well, in previous lives, I have been part of the Native American tribe, but also more recently, when Spirit told me, okay, you have to move back to England. And again, there was little grace. It was like, why do I have to go back there? It's expensive. It's cold. It rains all the time. Having lived 15 years in a hot country, it was... And I was resistant for a very long time. And eventually I conceded. I was like, okay. But as soon as I got back here, I realized why another part, another aspect of my soul self started to unfold. And so the whole shamanic animism side, working with the land, came in because it was my land. Mm-hmm. And it's where I am, particularly in the West Country. My ancestors have been here, and I can actually trace it right the way back to the 4th century. And I'm absolutely sure it goes back even further than that, but I haven't been able to trace it further back than that at the moment.
Wow.
And so it's listening to those nudges and then being brave enough to follow through when they go against everything. Because I think we do, even when you're on the journey, even when you working with your soul, there is still the aspects of 3D life, 3D living. And it can bring up fears. It can bring up worries. I was very much, oh, okay, if when I go back, that's fine. What do I do? What do you want me to do? And I just thought, okay, my business is online. I can go anywhere in the world. It's not a problem. And when I got back, it was flat. I was like, what's going on? Don't do this to me. I've just had all this massive expense, you know, real 3D reality things. It's like I've had all this massive expense of relocating and new property, blah blah blah, kitting out a new house, and now it's flat. What are you doing to me? And it was because I needed the time and the space to allow the new layer, the new aspect, the another part of my soul self to unfold and to give it time to integrate and to grasp the understanding of what that meant for me.
It's interesting how we have to trust when new things are presented that scare us, but we also need to trust when new things aren't presented and we wish that they would be.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that is, I don't think, I know, that has been my biggest learning over the last 2 years. And that has been really monumental. That changed the whole kind of soul sovereignty aspect, because it was that really, it's one thing talking about trust. It's another thing trusting when you're comfortable, when you're okay. It's completely terrifying trusting when all your safeguards, all your comfort zones, all your buffers are removed and you're still being asked to trust. You're still being asked to, and that is, it's massive. It's monumental. It really shifts the paradigms of what we're actually doing and where we are going. To know that you will be cared for, you will be nurtured, you will be held, even though for all intents and purposes, everything that you physically see around you is saying everything to the contrary.
Yeah, and that's where soul sovereignty comes in too, because I think we will also really listen intently to the voice of the world, and people mm-hmm. are addicted to social media and hearing what everyone has to say about everything. And even like subconsciously, when you watch a movie or a TV show, there's programming about how the world is yeah. or how they want you to think the world is, right? And so yeah. when you can trust that inner knowing, it's going to help remove some of that, but it's not easy, right?
No, it's it doesn't have to be hard either. We make it hard. The process is so simple. When you look at nature, when you look at the cosmos and the way that everything works and the synergy and how it all unfolds, it's very simplistic in its design. It's our minds that complicate everything. And the one thing that I always say is, get, you know, just stop spinning the plates, just breathe and just take it down into the heart space. and allow yourself to feel the love of divine, of God, of your higher self, whatever your belief system is, but allow yourself to feel it. Have yourself on that firm foundation and learn to trust it. And that trust is a process, as I said, and it takes you through a process because it gets you trusting, as I said before, it gets you trusting when everything's okay. And then it takes a few things away and it's like, oh, do you still trust? And then it kind of, so it's almost like stages it takes you yes. through. And it is a process and it is intense.
Mm-hmm. And we learn by listening to the outside voice and realizing, oh, that doesn't feel good to me. Even though a lot of people are saying this feels good to them, it doesn't feel good to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And shifting from there.
Yeah. It's learning yourself. It's learning to trust yourself first. Love yourself first. That's your base foundation. And then you start building from there. It's that bringing in that self-love, that self-worth, that self-value, and in every aspect. But just start with one. Just start with one aspect of your life and then just broaden it out. Just take it out a little bit further and a little bit further and really build a very solid foundation. And that is soul sovereignty, is absolutely standing in your own power, and complete chaos can reign around you. But you're not uncompassionate to what's going on and what's happening for other people, but you in yourself are not being sucked into the drama, into the chaos. You yourself feel at peace because you have your connection to your soul source. You have connection to your soul self. And that is absolutely beautiful, because when we're able to do that, we are able to offer more help. I mean, we've all had friends when we've had a drama going on, they actually add rather than take away. They add to the drama and you think, oh, really, that wasn't helpful. They think that they're being helpful. They think that they're being caring and compassionate and nurturing. And in fact, what they're actually doing is they're giving you more plates to spin rather than fewer. When you're in that soul sovereign self state, you are able to be present, but not part of. You're able to hold space compassionately without judgment. And so that person can start to unravel whatever it is they need to unravel, whatever's creating that chaos in that drama for them, mm-hmm. because you're holding space for them.
Yes. I also feel like with big world events, there's often nothing I can physically do to help with it. And mm-hmm. so getting caught up in the emotion of it and following along with the story, it's not going to do anyone good who is experiencing the chaos, nor mm-hmm. will it do anyone good in my initial vicinity or myself. Mm-hmm. What I can offer is my energy. And my love, and send the angels and whatever else. Standing in my own peace, I feel, is often so much more powerful than taking physical action, especially if I can't see how that would positively contribute to a situation that feels out of control.
Yeah. It's interesting concept, isn't it? Because I don't watch any mainstream. It's just not on my radar. But when there are significant events, I always get given a nudge from spirit. When there is something that I know I need to write about and remind people to stay in their sovereign state and rise above and hold the love, because that's what's actually going to change. It's the energies and it's the vibrations. And we have been programmed for centuries about taking action, and yet we don't value the power of non-action. We don't value the power of silence,
mm-hmm.
and holding vigilance, holding love and positive vibrations, raising above that. And it's very difficult for people that are still in the action mindset to understand that actually that will work, but it does work. We can't stop some of the issues, and we shouldn't stop some of the issues that are being created around the world at the moment, because they have to play themselves out. It's an energetic cycle, and those that are in those cycles have to start to learn. Only they can decide that that cycle has to come to an end, and what are they going to do? How are they going to bring that to an end? It's not helpful for other people to also enter into that cycle. What's more helpful is to hold space and say, okay, we'll give you the extra energy. We will give you the extra love. We will give you a non-judgmental environment in which you guys can start to work out how this cycle can be brought to an end.
That's so powerful. I especially love how you said that if there is something you can do, you can trust and you can lean on your soul sovereignty to ping you into doing that, or sharing words of wisdom, or using your gifts to help in the way that you are most powerful to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. It is powerful. It's powerful. We underestimate silence. We underestimate. So many people are frightened of being in a silent environment. It's because we have the radio or the television, or we've got something. I always chuckle because I'm obviously busy working women, and I say to them, okay, the best way to actually start bringing in some of these principles, the first thing you need to do is meditate. Oh, I haven't got time for meditation every day. And I say, right, okay, you go for a run. Yeah, right, okay, meditate when you're running. And then they say, it's not working. It's happened so many times now. I say, meditate when you're running. Do not put your iPods in. Do not allow yourself to hear your surroundings. Take yourself to the park. Take yourself to the woods. Run in a place where you've got natural aspects. Not everybody, obviously, if you're in a city, you can't go to the woods, you can't go to the countryside, but there will be a park. But take your headphones out. Allow yourself to hear nature. And when you start to hear nature, nature will start to talk to you. Nature will start to guide you. It will start to become part of your everyday life, which is how we were always supposed to be. We've separated ourselves from the world, and then we wonder why we have so much conflict and chaos in our lives. And it's because we have created a world where humans are separate, and we were never supposed to be separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're too focused on what other people are doing across the world and not focused enough on the plants and the trees that are around us that can bring out that presence of peace.
Yeah, or our neighbors. How many people know the names of their neighbors? How many people say good morning to them or good evening to them or check that they're okay?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I just moved to a neighborhood about a year ago where my neighbors are like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like suspicious at first. I'm like, this is weird. And then I just felt overwhelmed. Like, oh my gosh, this is something I didn't know could exist. And it's so amazing to feel like you're friends with your neighbors. And like, this is where those actions do make a difference. It's right around you. Like, everyone's going to jump on the bandwagon of the latest Twitter, whatever. I don't even go on there. It's called something else now, X or whatever. But what about, yeah, what's going on around you? That's where those actions can come in handy and be helpful and powerful and make a real difference.
And it's having that compassion as well, having it's building the communities. I think this is where we have got so far away from, and which is why there is so many. I mean, I've always been really lucky. When my daughter was younger, my daughter's a grown woman now, but when she was younger, I was a single mum. But that wasn't an issue like it's an issue now, because I was in a village. The community helped me bring her up. So even though I was a busy working mum, I had 100 pairs of eyes looking out for her, and it wasn't they were looking out, making judgments. They were just looking out for her. They were just like extended family, and we all did that for each other's children. If we seen them misbehaving, we told them to stop misbehaving. And I think that has been lost. There has been a drive to separate humanity even more rather than bring it together, even in the fields of psychology. I mean, the latest craze that's been going on is isolating people from their families. Therapists actually advocating that you break off communication with your family. Now, obviously, if it's been immensely abusive and you're in danger, then you need to put space between yourselves. But there seems to be a very quick, oh, well, you know, cut them out of your life. No, let's resolve the issues.
Yeah. And even energetically, I think you can resolve the issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that makes it really interesting point, because we talk about soul sovereignty as like standing in your individuality and trusting your inner knowing. And then there's the other side of it of like, but how do we stay in unity with people around us?
Because we know ourselves, we're not affected by them. We don't stand in judgment, and we don't allow ourselves to be judged. And even if we are judged, we don't take it personally, because that is just where they are in their journey. And you have that higher level of consciousness. It's not really important. It's the one thing that you do take note of is reciprocity, because obviously when you're working with energy, there has to be that equal reciprocity. And so if people are not giving you the same level of reciprocity, or they're being disrespectful of you, then you need to put some distance there. But that doesn't mean you have to cut them out of your life. And family is one of the most difficult ones to do, because most of us have dysfunctional aspects within our families. Very few families that doesn't have some level of dysfunction. But it's learning to go, okay, they're my family, I love them, but I need to pull away from the dysfunction. I need to separate myself from the dysfunction. And that's the huge difference. You're separating yourself from the dysfunction. You're not separating yourself from the family members.
I think it's so beautiful when you can hold someone in your heart, even if physically you're having trouble with them. And it does really relate back to this idea of the world stage and how we relate to our universal family, our earth family too, and how we can navigate those troubles of you're not disconnecting. You're not saying, whatever, I'm sick of you guys and your wars. You're driving me crazy. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You're still being like, I'm aware, and I'm sending love and hope and peace and doing my own thing at the same time.
Yeah. And it's the soul sovereignty that will actually allow those people, because you do the healing within it. We heal ourselves. And as we said earlier, we heal future generations, but we also heal ancestral lineages. And we all know, science has actually shown us, DNA testing has actually shown us, that we carry hurts, we carry pains, we carry troubles from our ancestors, and we carry in our DNA. And there's been lots and lots of research done on this. And so that hatred is also carried. When there has been wars for generations, the hatred, and let's be honest, hatred stems from fear. Mm-hmm. Hatred only ever stems from fear. So if we can heal those fears within ourselves in the present, we heal those fears in our ancestors. And so we heal those fears in future generations. And that is why it's so important, for all intents and purposes, because we've so been action-based, it can feel that we're not doing anything. But actually what we're doing is monumental. It is going to create massive change globally, the more people that spend the time and do the work.
Yes. I always like to think of my ancestors like watching in, and they're learning from my life as I live it and as I learn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're championing you because they obviously, they, I mean, I've had that in my own, with my own ancestors. I did some work. I went to, Iona, which is a small island up in Scotland that is very much, the divine feminine energy based. And I was doing some work up there at the beginning part of the year. And I didn't go there with the intention of doing ancestral healing, but that is what actually transpired when I was up there. And it was magical because they were championing me to actually do that healing within myself. And it was difficult, but beautiful. It was quite challenging. But when I actually came away, when I came out of that, I could actually see that my ancestors were continuing the work that I'd already started with other ancestors. And so everybody, not only myself, but everybody got that healing. And so it's all the lines, because when we look at, when we look at family trees, they all branch off in all different directions. And so there's so many aspects to that, that so many people got healed, people that I don't even know, people that I didn't even know were part of my lineage, that is now being, because that work was continued. And this is the magic of it. This is the beauty of it.
Yeah. That makes me think of how soul sovereignty, we've kind of touched on this already, about how it seems like you're drawing your energy in to focus on yourself. And yet that is the most powerful way to become a light for our ancestors, our families, the world, each other. And that's why it can seem like we're breaking away from like the illusion of what everyone else is doing and doing our own path. But that's how we light up our energy, which is going to allow us to heal others and the world around us, as well as ourselves, because it comes through us out to them.
Yeah. Yeah. If you think of a tree, I mean, I always use the oak because I'm very attuned with the oak, and it starts as a little acorn. But if you give it all that energy and that grows into a big oak, think about all the life that oak is able to provide. It provides protection for the birds. It gives oxygen into the planet. It gives the acorns for the squirrels. I mean, there's so many different facets to what that one little acorn can do if it's nurtured and if it's grown and it's allowed to establish really solid roots for itself.
Mm-hmm. Don't let yourself get gobbled up by the squirrels. It's the moral of that story, obviously.
Lovely.
Oh my goodness. This has been such a powerful conversation, and I'm so glad I followed the nudge to ask you to be here with us today. It's such an important topic right now, as I keep hearing so many people that are in so much distress over outside influences, which that's understandable. But I feel like this is a really good reminder to come back in to ourselves and work on our own energy. How can people work with you if they want to continue this process and really commit to it and devote themselves to their soul sovereignty?
I've got two programs that are around the actual soul sovereignty. That is for somebody who's already done a fair bit of work and they're really wanting to take themselves to that next level. And we work one-to-one because it is very intensive and it needs to be very focused on you, what you're doing, your journey, your ancestors, where you're at, your soul sovereignty. If you're wanting to kind of dip your toe, as it were, but still do some really great transformative work, I've got the Inner Goddess Within program. That's a 6-week program, and we work as a group. So those two. So depending on where you are, it would depend on which one you started with. One thing I'd like to do before we actually finish, and I hope you don't mind, is to teach people Tonglen, which is a beautiful, beautiful modality, just very, very quickly.
Yes.
And it's just where you breathe a problem, an issue, a worry, a concern, and you envelope it in love. So if I just do that with you, so if you just close your eyes and you just start to breathe, and just in that breath, just watch the breath go in through your nose, down through your mouth, and into your heart. And once you start to feel relaxed, I want you to take your worry, your concern, and I want you to place that into your heart. And then with your next in-breath, you breathe in the love of the divine, and you take that to the heart, and you envelope, like wings of an angel, wrapping around that worry, that concern. And you just hold it there. And with every breath you take in more love from the divine. You take it into the heart. And you see those wings wrap tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter around that worry, around that concern, until that worry or concern just dissolves. It dissolves because the love is so intense. It cannot remain there.
Mm.
And once it's dissolved, you just breathe it out, give it back to the universe with love. And it's just a magical, magical, very simple. It's something you can do in your office, at the computer, when you're on the bus, when you're in the car, whenever you're spinning plates, whenever you're going through a situation that you just keep, it's on repeat. We can sometimes can't find a solution, and we have this mentality that if we keep thinking about it, it's a solution will miraculously appear, and yet we've gone over it and over it and over it and over it, and those are the good times to use this is called Tong Leng. Just take it to the heart and just give it love, and I can guarantee you, one, it stops that repeat in your head, and two, within hours you will find the solution.
That is so beautiful. Thank you so much. I love that because it works for any problem that anyone might have who's listening mm-hmm. right now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I actually didn't get a chance to read Claire's chart in this episode, so I do want to share a little bit about her chart with you all, just because it's been our tradition. Claire has her sun in Scorpio in the first house of identity, authenticity, and leadership. So she expresses herself the best when she is getting to the core of what needs to be transformed and transcended in order to help first herself live as the leader of her own life, and then to also help others stand strong in their own individuality by looking at their shadows and the fears that might hold them back from being the leader of their own lives. Claire's moon sign is in Gemini in the 8th house of business, finance, and shadow work. So once again, she doesn't shy away from looking deep beneath the surface at what is really going on, but she feels the best when she's able to communicate openly and freely about these things, as she does through her newsletter, her YouTube channel, her sessions, and the teachings and courses she shares. And then finally, Claire is a Libra rising. So her job is to bring balance, beauty, and harmony into the world. If you'd like to learn more about Claire, you can find her work at claireatio.com. And I have placed that link and all of the others where you can find her if you scroll down below this episode. Is there any last words you'd like to share before we let everyone go?
Just thank you for allowing me on. And everybody out there, take care. You are beautiful, right as you are. Just keep growing. Take care.
For more information on how to use astrology to find your cosmic calling and sign up for astrology email updates, check out soulshineastrology.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review for The Cosmic Calling to help other cool people like us find the show. The Cosmic Calling community is a gathering place for listeners of the show to connect more deeply with fellow like-minded spiritual seekers. Join us for astrology classes, monthly forecasts, cosmic planning tools, plus bonus features for these podcast episodes by going to soulshineastrology.com/community.